Hello, is this thing on? I want to say God bless you all today. How do I start today? This was kind of a unplanned recording, of course, in Facebook Live. I'm both on Spotify, my podcast and my Facebook Live today. So, today I just wanted to go over with you guys Romans chapter 8. Now, basically, the show or the teaching and the theme of everything that I've been teaching and preaching is, on the Facebook Live and the podcast show has been walking in God's Word. Now, it's amazing. I was reading Romans 8 and I was thinking to myself, this would really be a good time to go over the foundation, the biblical foundation on. Now, we all know the entire Word of God should be the foundation on which this show and this podcast show is based upon. But I also wanted to go over walking in God's Word. This is a very, very important. I'm going to go over Romans 8 because Romans 8 is the biblical foundation in which walking in God's Word, actually, that's how you know it's God. It wasn't my idea that it was God was the one who put the Bible verse. It is a Bible verse in Romans 8 that speaks on walk, that says the word, actually, and walking in, that speaks on walking in God's Word. Alrighty. So I just wanted to say that real fast, that's a very, very important, and excuse me, I just want to look for it. So I'm gonna read as I go, and I just read Romans 8, and I'm going to study it as we go. So this is very, very, very important. I'm only going to talk about Romans 8. I'm not going to go over all over the Bible. I already spoke on morals and ethics. This is a midsummer teaching. That's all this is on Romans 8. And I just want to talk about just Romans 8, just a chapter. It's very important we just stick with the chapter of it. And we're all becoming students of the Word of God as we read Romans 8. So therefore, there is no guilty. There is now. Listen, this is Romans 8. I'm gonna stop and I'm gonna make a PowerPoint soon. Therefore, there is no condemnation, which means no guilty verdict, no punishment for those that are in Christ Jesus who believes in Him as personal Lord and Savior. John 3:18. For the law of the Spirit of life, which is in Christ Jesus, the law of our new being, has set you free from the law of sin and of death. But for what the law could not do, that is overcome sin and remove its penalty, its power weakened, being weakened by the flesh, man's nature, which is man's nature without the Holy Spirit, God did for us. He sent His own Son, in the likeness of sinful man, as an offering for sin. And He condemned sin in the flesh, subdued it, and overcame it in the person of His own Son. So that the righteous and just requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not live our lives in the ways of the flesh, guided by worldliness and our sinful nature, but live our lives in the ways of the Spirit, guided by His power. Okay? So, all right? For those who are living according to the flesh, set their minds on the things of the flesh, which gratify the body, but those who are living according to the Spirit, set their minds on the things of the Spirit, His will and purpose. Now, the mind of the flesh is death both now and forever because it pursues sin. All right, but the mind of the Spirit is life and peace, the spiritual well-being that comes from walking with God both now and forever. I just want to make a side note, right, to everybody that, everybody who has had like the thing, once saved, always saved. Listen, it's not exactly true because, the Bible says those that are in Christ Jesus means those that are intimate in God's Word, okay? So it just says that our minds, and you could be a Christian, listen to me, you could be a born-again, speaking in tongue, fiery, baptized Christian. You could go to church and you could do that, but if your mind is not set on the things of God, if you are not focused in on the things of God, that your mind, the Bible says you have to be renewed in Romans 12. You have to be renewed, continually in your mind, okay? The mind works like this, okay? Our minds work like this. This is why we need God, okay? We all need, every day, we need this bottle of water. We need a bottle of water. Every day of our lives, we need a bottle of water. to replenish ourselves, right? We need food. We need healthy things, right? So when you constantly read God's word, and I just don't mean you go to church on Sunday and you listen in, to a preacher or a teacher. That stuff is all good and all. But I'm always going to encourage and push everybody listening, and whoever it is that will listen and whoever it is who is listening, it's very, very important to renew your minds in the word of God, okay? Because I can guarantee you there's nothing more edifying sanctifying that when you disciple yourself and become a student in God's word for yourself. Okay, that's how come, you know, in our culture, in every culture, the culture of Christianity should be and always will be and always, no matter what, is not just a Bible verse, but deep into the word of God. So I just wanted to say that to everybody. I'm going to get more into that later on. Okay, now the mind of the flesh, we'll read it again, is flesh. Is death. Now the mind of the flesh is death both now and forever because it pursues sin. But the mind of the spirit is life and peace, the spiritual well-being that comes from walking with God both now and forever. So if your mind is aligned with the word of God and mind of the spirit, you will have the spiritual well-being that comes from walking. You will have peace. Okay, the mind of the flesh, with verse 7, the mind of the flesh, which is sinful pursuits, is actively hostile to God. It does not submit itself to God's law, since it cannot. And those who are in the flesh, living a life that caters to the sinful appetites and impulses, cannot please God. However, you are not living in the flesh according to this by the sinful nature, but in the spirit. If in fact the spirit of God lives in you, directing and guiding you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him and is not a child of God. If Christ lives in you, though your natural body is dead because of sin, your spirit is alive because of righteousness which he provides. And if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who lives in you. Okay? Now, this all ties in to the title of this entire show, Walking in God's Word, okay? And this is, this Bible verse alone for me, this chapter alone is the backbone of the show, okay? So then, verse 12, so then, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but not to our flesh, our human nature, our worldliness, our sinful capacity to live according to the impulses of flesh, our nature without the Holy Spirit. God's talking to us as Christians. God's talking to us, the sons and daughters of God, those that are in the Word, that are in Christ Jesus. For if you are living according to the impulses of the flesh, verse 13, you are going to die. But if you are living by the power of the Holy Spirit, you are habitually putting to death the sinful deeds of the body. You already live forever. Now, the word habitually means that you're making it a habit. You are putting it into practice. That's what that means. Now, verse 14. For all who are allowing themselves to be led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of slavery leading again to fear of God's judgment, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, the spirit producing sonship by which we joyfully cry, Abba, Father. Now, the Spirit himself testifies and confirms together with our spirit, assuring us that we believers are children of God. And if we are his children, then we are also his heirs, heirs also of God, and fellow heirs with Christ, sharing in his spiritual blessings and inheritance. If indeed we share in his suffering, so that we may also share in his glory. For I consider from the standpoint of faith that the sufferings of the present life are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is about to be revealed to us and in us. For even the whole creation, all nature, waits eagerly for the children of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration and futility, not willingly because of some intentional fault on his part, but by the will of him who subjected it in hope, that the creation itself will also be freed from its bondage to decay and gain entrance into the glorious freedom of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been moaning together as in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only this, but we too, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, a joyful indication of the blessings to come, even we groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for the sign of our adoption as sons, the redemption and transformation of our body as a resurrection. But in this hope we were saved by faith. But hope, the object of which is seen, is not hope. For who hopes for what he already sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait eagerly for it with patience and composure. Now, I'm going to get into our victory in Christ, because I'm reading out the Amplified Bible. But this entire series, like I said, is based on the Word of God, okay? And it also speaks on the backbone, and also there's a verse that it talks about, you know, walking in God's Word, and I'm going to look for that, because sometimes things jump out. And when I first came up with the show, it was like, okay, and I'm not talking about the show, because the basis is teaching and preaching the Word of God according to His plan and purpose and His will. But what I'm trying to say is that that the reason why I stress so much, and I use the word because it's like we have to come out of the mentality that that the world is going to be that the world's going to like us, and that and we cannot be conformed to the pattern of this world. Because I got news for everybody, whether or not that, you know, we try to entertain the world or not, the world's not going to like us just because of our because when you're a born again Christian and you accept Christ, the world is actively hostile to God, and that means us too. We cannot be conformed to the pattern of this world. According to Romans 12, we have to be renewed daily in the Word of God, and we have to we have to put our blessed assurance in our hope. We need to be strong in Christ. So we're already living in a world that's already backsliding and really, God help us, all hellbound. But we cannot allow ourselves to come out of God's Word and intimacy with God. So let me go down to our victory in Christ. In the same way, the Spirit comes to us, helps us in our weaknesses. See, we all have weaknesses. We all have a problem. But just listen to this chapter. In verse 26, in the same way the Spirit comes to us and helps us in our weaknesses. We do not know what prayer to offer or how to offer it as we should, but the Spirit Himself knows our need and at the right time intercedes on our own behalf with sighs and groanings too deep for words. And he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because the Spirit intercedes before God on behalf of God's people in accordance with God's will. And we know with great confidence that God, who is deeply concerned for us, causes all things to work together as a plan for good for those who love God, to those who are called to according to His plan and purpose. Okay? For those who He foreknew and loved and chose beforehand, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, and ultimately shared in His complete sanctification, so that He would be the firstborn, the most beloved and honored among many believers. And those who He predestined, He also called. And those who He called, He also justified, declared free of the guilt of sin. And those whom He justified, He also glorified, raising them to heavenly dignity. What then shall we say to all these things? If God is for us, who can be successful against us? He who did not spare even His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also along with Him graciously give us all these things? Who will bring any charges against God's elect, His chosen ones? It is God who justifies us, declaring us blameless and putting us in a right relationship with Himself. Who is the one who condemns us? Christ Jesus is the one who died to pay our penalty. And more than that, who was raised from the dead, and who is at the right hand of God, interceding with the Father for us all. Who shall ever separate us from the love of Christ, with tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? Just as it is written, and forever remains written, for your sake we are put to death all day long, we are regarded as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors, and gain an overwhelming victory through Him who loved us so much that He died for us. For I am convinced, and continue to be convinced beyond any doubt, that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present and threatening, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the unlimited love of God, which is Christ Jesus our Lord. So this is what it means now, walking in God's Word, okay? And when you read in God's Word, and when you stay in God's Word now, I know I've been reading a lot of Paul's letters, and I know that I said I'm going to be going into the life of Jesus soon, which I will be. That'll be for the fall semester, or the fall teachings and preachings in all this, because I want to be able to, because I know about the life of Jesus, but I want to get more in depth, because I'm not going to lie to you guys, I've been more involved with Paul's letters and, you know, in things like that, working on my own personal sanctification, because the Bible says, John 17:17, sanctify them in the truth, which means purify them and consecrate them, separate them from the ways of the world. I'm paraphrasing in an amplified way. The word is truth. So the only way we can be sanctified is through the word of God, okay? The only way, we cannot, listen, the greatest discipleship ever you will ever teach or preach to anybody is the word of God. There is nothing else that you will possibly be able to help a person if you're in God's word. There's nothing more. You can have empathy and compassion on a person, but there's nothing more sanctifying and satisfying than reading God's word and getting into God's word. Don't get me wrong, I'm not against, people who, they want to help and, want to counsel, but there's nothing more vital, more important than laying the foundation in walking in God's Word. And that's what I want to say, everybody, that I'm not going to sugarcoat everything. We are not in a time, and I'm not going to get into the news right now, but if you do watch the news, if you tie everything in, if you're into the Bible and the end times, and I'm going to say something to everybody, that there's no guarantee that, we're going to escape this thing. There's no guarantee that, that whatever God's will, like I said, like our lives can leave our bodies at any moment, but at the same time, there's no guarantee with the persecution that's coming. There is no guarantee that the persecution that's coming is going to, who's to say won't reach us. So, and it's going to come, and it's going to come, okay? I don't need to remind everybody that communist China persecutes the underground church just because, it's communism for you. And I just wanted to throw that out there real fast. So anybody who, and I'm not going to tell everybody how you should vote and how your belief system should be, but I will tell you that it's very, 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 very important that you know that I'm not, and I got to correct myself too. That it's like I kind of support some beliefs conservatives, whatever. But at the end of the day, let's take all these titles out. We're to be Christians. We're supposed to be a Christian. Being a Christian is not about I acknowledge and I have I practice Christianity. I have a practice where I go to church, I do my communion, or I do the water baptism. All that stuff is good. But the most important thing is to walk and remain in intimacy in God's Word. That's how come, that's what it means to, and if you're conformed. And I don't have to remind everybody that the Bible does say, because, and like I said, I don't want to say that, like, I'm the most perfect one, but the Bible does say that, those that are fulfilling the mind of the flesh in the works of the flesh cannot please God. And it said those who practice these things, it doesn't mean you can go to the, you can accept Jesus at some point in your life. But if you are practicing certain things in life, like I said, there's one guarantee. We're all going to die. We're all going to stand before God. And how we stand before God today, how we make our stand today, is how we're going to stand before God when we die. I just wanted to put one Bible verse out there, and I did look at it. I just read the whole chapter, because I'm a big supporter on Bible on top of it. I do support the Word of God with the Word of God. Because, the most dangerous thing that I've seen people do, and the one thing that I don't agree on, is you can have a Bible verse for memory, okay? Because that stabilizes your mind throughout the daytime. But I encourage everybody reading this, get in deep into the Word of God, no matter what the age group is. Get into the Word of God. Your child, your adolescent, teenager, 20-something-year-old, 30-something-year-old, get into the Word of God, people, okay? Because this is, listen, now I'm saying to somebody real fast, and I'm recording both on my podcast and my Facebook live show. What is And I'm sorry to say, what is this generation going to... I'm 39. What is this generation going to look like? What is this generation already turning out to be? We already took Bible study and prayer out of schools. And no offense to anybody else who might be watching, this does not pertain to everybody. What I'm about to say, Bible study and prayer has been taken out of churches. I'm sorry. Quoting a few scriptures and saying a little rinky-dinky prayer every once in a while just to help does not work. We need vibrant prayer and vibrant Bible study back in every... Do whatever it is that you want to do. Okay, and I'm not saying like, okay, have, you know, whatever. But you really, sorry, you really do need Bible study and prayer. The Word of God has to be the foundation and a backbone in absolutely everything you do. And everything you do. It should be a way of life. Not a way of what we do when we go to church. It should be a way of everyday life. I can tell you, I can promise you. Now, we talk about the mind of the flesh is death, both now and forever. Well, if you look in the garden, yes, we all live in a fallen state. So, and I'm going to be, may I be, I'm going to confess something right here. When I don't read my Bible and I'm not in the Word of God myself, yes, my flesh acts up. Yes, it does. But the moment I open up the Bible... Because the battlefield is in the mind. Yes, I'm a born-again Christian. I've been saved since the Passion of the Christ came out. And I've been... But I'm not going to lie. It's not the fact that... and you can go to church and you can be encouraged. You can receive a word, you can whatnot. But the only thing that will maintain and sustain every believer and every born-again Christian listening to this podcast... And listening to everything is God's word. Okay, it doesn't matter what age you are. You need God's word to set a foundation. You see, when you read God's word, the mind aligns itself with God's thoughts. The Bible is the thoughts of God. The Bible says that this is the setting your mind on the word of God. You have to set your mind on the word of God. What is the word of God? That you be sanctified and separated from things profane. Read 1 Thessalonians 4. Okay, this is the word of God. You want to know that? Oh man, I'm just gonna go. I wasn't planning on this, but I'm going right now. I'm gonna go to 1 Thessalonians 4. There was a Bible verse that talks about, you know, walking in the word of God right here in Romans 8, and I just run through it. Maybe I already went through it, but let me go to 1 Thessalonians 4, if you don't mind. And I want to prove to you, because people are like, what is the word of God? And it's the word of God for us to be conformed to the pattern of God's word, not conform to the pattern of the world. And that could be anything. Okay? And keep a watchful eye on yourself also. I believe that every man, woman, and child, every youth, every teenager, every young adult, should be strictly discipled in the word of God. I believe, as far as youth ministries are concerned, and I'm always going to say this, I always dealt with the youth for the most part in my walk with God. The first thing I did as I entered into a children's ministry when I was in the Assemblies of God, and then I went right into the youth ministry when I went to another church. So, and I'm continuing this day. But my heart isn't just specifically to put a label or in a box, oh, just youth ministry. It's really for children, adolescent, teenagers, 20s, and 30-year-olds, because this is a generation that do listen. This is the next generation. Now, I'm 30, now I'm going to be 40. Now, I believe I have a lot of life left in me and a lot of energy left in me. But let me tell you, this is not the time to mess around with the world or the things of the world. No matter how enticing and how satisfying the world is, if you have to turn off the TV, if you have to turn off, if you have to turn off Netflix or Hulu or Disney Plus or anything. And I'm just saying it for myself because, you know, it's really not, I like to say in God's word, between my job and this. So we have to turn everything off and we need to get into God's word to sanctify ourselves and separate ourselves. So it doesn't matter what, and God's will is for all of us to be saved. So, God demonstrated his love, yet that while we were sinners, he died for us. That's love. That is love. For this is the word of God, that you be sanctified. 1 Thessalonians 4. For this is the word of God, that you be sanctified, set apart from sin, that you abstain and back away from sexual immorality. That each of you know how to control his own body in holiness and honor, being available for God's purpose and separated from things profane, not to be used in lustful passion like the Gentiles who do not know God and are ignorant of his will, and that in the same matter of sexual misconduct, no man shall transgress and defraud his brother, because the Lord is the avenger in all these things, just as we have told you before and soundly warned you. Now, like I was saying before, this is the word of God, that we be sanctified and set apart. Only the word of God, I can guarantee you, only the word of God, discipleship in the word of God. Listen, I'm going to say something very blunt, okay? And this is not to control, listen, the schools and the secular media and everybody is already separated from God, okay? So I'm just going to say one thing, I want to address one thing, now I'm going to go. The world is already draining and taking this generation. In your home, in your house, is your house a place of separation and sanctification where God is lifted up and the word of God is honored? Because see, people say it starts in the church. Now I'm making a call for myself. It starts in the home. Then it makes its way up to the church. And I'm telling, I'm going to say, I'm not, I guess, for me, the church has to be deep into the word of God. God, I believe in helping the widow and the orphan. I really do. And I love, you know, the people. And the Bible does say for us to be productive and to have a job to make sure we help those that are in need. And those that are in need are those, like, you know, you look at, you know, Africa. You look at, you know, God has called us, you know, to love our, you know, neighbors ourselves. And for me, my neighbor as a Christian is my Jewish brothers and sisters. God has called us to bless and support Israel. These are signs. So I'm all for, first and foremost, the sign is getting into God and his word. Secondly, do we bring justice to the poor? These are two things that I look for. And I believe as far as youth ministry is concerned, I believe every young man should be involved in outreaching his community and being a disciple in his work before he does anything. But that's just me. Because I already seen, you know, because everybody, especially in those years, they should be working on their identity in Christ and should be sitting under the word of God strictly, and because their focus should be in school and building a strong foundation, because by the time they get to college, if you don't set a foundation on them now, they're going to be lost. I am sorry. Now, I'm blessed and fortunate that I didn't have to go through that, and I'm blessed and fortunate at 39 that even in my struggles, that God has helped me and prayed for me and interceded me in my weaknesses. But we need to set a foundation for every 30-something-year-old, 20-something-year-old, every teenager, adolescent, and child. And I'm talking to everybody on this one. So, I have to ask everyone, I am looking for that one Bible verse tonight. I lost it, but it's okay. Read Romans 8 and you will find it for yourself. But we all know that's how come it, what it means to walk in God's word. That's what it means to walk in God's word. There's so many other Bible verses, but God, this one stuck out to me the most when it came to going over this. So, each one of us will give an account to God when we, you know, when we die and we stand before God. So the main question is, as I close out today, is are we in a right setting relationship with God in a way? Are we cultivating our own oil? Are we set our minds? Cultivating oil is when you get in God's word. and you set your yourself on the things of God alone. We already live in a corrupt body because of the fall of man, because of the fall of Adam. When Adam and Eve sinned against God and disobeyed God in the Garden of Eden. But God did provide a way out when he sent his son to die for us. God did provide a way through the sacrifice of his son, Jesus. God gave us two things. Two things. He gave us his son. And he gave us this. This book. The Bible. This is what God gave. For every Christian. 2,000 plus years ago, his son died on the cross. Jesus, the Son of God and God himself, died on the cross for our sins, our guilt, our iniquity, our injustice, our evil, our wrongdoing. And read your Bible. So I can't convince you. I'm a sinner just like anybody else. But I'm a sinner saved by grace, walking in God's word. And you will sin less. Not by going to church. Not by going, you know, and doing whatever it is that you do, but by walking and reading God's word. That's what it means to be born again. You shall be born again. You have to renew your mind. That's what it means. Being is that you have to renew the spirit of your mind, your attitude. I can guarantee you nothing, nothing on this planet is going to change our circumstances. And Jesus will come. And only Jesus, the Son of God, is the only one that's going to set things straight. Not the president, not the White House, because everybody is corrupt. Everybody is corrupt. But I will always stand people. I was saying one thing. I will always stand behind anybody who is pro-Israel and pro-life. That's it. In government. So I don't need to explain my vote. So I'm saying God bless you all. I pray that the Holy Spirit now strengthens and energizes you spiritually in Jesus' name, according to Ephesians 3:16. I declare in Jesus' name that you would mentally, physically, and spiritually energize us in your word, Lord. In Jesus' name, Father God, we have a fresh, untarnished mental attitude. In Jesus' name, that we will be sanctified from and separated from things profane, and that we will be from things profane, that we will be purified and sanctified in the spirit of your word today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Say, God bless you all. You'll know whenever I drop another episode, another video. So, right now I'm going to make a quick announcement real fast. So I'm going to close out the podcast show real fast. Say God bless you all real fast. I want to say to everybody that keep listening in on this show, spread the word. I will be sharing this, everybody. You can always look it up on Pocket Cast and Spotify. This is where you will receive this word. And you know, if you have Apple TV, look it up, Walking in God's Word, because I believe that my platform is also, by the grace of God, was anything I asked for was on Apple TV. So I'm going to say God bless you all, and God bless you. Bye-bye.